It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Jerusalem is the seat of Israel's government. Today, we follow through on this recognition and open our embassy in the historic and sacred land of Jerusalem.
President Trump, by recognizing history, you have made history. We are in Jerusalem and we are here to stay.
Israel's a sovereign nation with the right to determine its own capital, the same right that is enjoyed by every other country in the world.
We also witnessed today a ceremony of the Prime Minister of Israel and the administration of President Trump, burying the peace process, burying the two-state solution, killing the hope in the minds of the people of the Middle East as a whole with the possibility of peace.
Sandy Rios with you, and that's sort of a montage of the different responses to the very big event that took place in Jerusalem yesterday. Thanks for joining me this morning. That was Donald Trump, Benjamin Netanyahu, Jared Kushner, and then Saeb Erekat, who is a Palestinian negotiator. You know, I have to say that the radicals of the Middle East, the embracers of Sharia, which is the ones throwing rocks and doing the violence and beheading people, Sharia, by the way, is central to Islamic teaching, are the ones who don't seem to want there to be peace in the Middle East. I have been in Israel and watched how the Israelis bend over backwards to try to extend themselves to the Palestinians. One of my good friends is Israeli, and I remember the first time I went to Israel, he was my guide. That's when I first met him. And he talked about how he had grown up, you know, with Arab neighbors and how good friends they grew up together. They played together. It wasn't always this way. But, of course, it's an axe to grind. And when the Palestinians have been handed nearly everything, as they did that were under the Clinton administration, they actually refused. When everything was offered to them, they still refused because they want the axe to grind. They don't want there to be peace. And so it continues. Now, I was curious to see how other media, CNN, MSNBC, I flipped around yesterday just to see how they were covering it. And I think this next montage gives you an idea. If you did not watch Fox News or some of the other One America News and some of the others, Newsmax, this is what you would have heard about yesterday's ceremonies. Let's listen.
Mr. Trump said our greatest hope is for peace. The reality today was violence, especially in Gaza.
An awful scene unfolding. Tens of thousands of Palestinians, some waving their flags, the flags of a people without a country, a human tide of protest against the U.S. embassy opening.
With their slingshots and burning tires, the protesters, including 6 children who were reportedly killed today, seem to be losing their lives for nothing.
More than 40 people dead today, and the White House isn't offering condolences. They're not offering any sort of heartfelt comments on the loss of life.
All right, so that's how it was covered. You see, and I noticed MSNBC just played a little clip of Jared Kushner's speech and then none of the rest of it. And then they went to talk about, you know, things about how bad Trump was and other issues, policy issues. And then they went to their Islamic complainers who always have to have something to complain about because they have this in common with the left. It's only the struggle. It's the complaining. It's being the victim. That's what they love because that's just what they love. I'd go and explain it. You know, same kind of people that offer their children as suicide bombers. It makes no sense to us. We cannot comprehend it. And yet this is what's happening. I couldn't help but notice when Benjamin Hall was giving his report from Fox News yesterday, you might not have noticed, but he was standing in front of an absolutely beautiful field. It was I don't know what they were planting. I wish I did. I'm not a farmer. I don't know. But the rows were planted. It was just meticulous and gorgeous, and it was Israel. And I remember that when Israel was occupied, when the Jews returned to Israel in 1949, 1950, it was just a dry and parched desert, just a mess. And they have turned it into something absolutely beautiful. And then I could not help but notice that when we saw the Palestinians throwing rocks, rioting, the land upon which they were walking was desert, parched, you know, just like you imagine Palestine of the middle of Jesus' time, because they didn't have the capabilities, the modern capabilities that they have now. But the problem is the difference in the cultures. Benjamin Hall gave a report of what actually happened yesterday at that ceremony, and I want you to hear it.
A campaign promise fulfilled today, and with great fanfare, as the new U.S. embassy opened in Jerusalem, 25 years after America first pledged to do so.
What a glorious day. Remember this moment. President Trump, by recognizing history, you have made history.
There was a sizable U.S. delegation, among them Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner, Steven Mnuchin, and various members of Congress. Although the president was not in attendance, he addressed the ceremony by video link.
Congratulations. It's been a long time coming. The United States will always be a great friend of Israel and a partner in the cause of freedom and peace.
Not everyone was celebrating. 53 miles south, the move inflamed the protests in Gaza. Some 40,000 Palestinians staged demonstrations along the border with Israel, leading to deadly clashes. Over 50 people were killed, more than 2,300 wounded. But in Israel today, little could dampen the joy at America's clear sign of commitment to them. A sentiment shared across political divides, as even Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer praised the president for moving the embassy, saying he applauded President Trump for doing so.
It's an amazing story. It really is. And one of the things that Israel has developed, among the many other technology centers, this huge research center studying the brain. I remember last time I was there visiting that. It's just amazing the things they're accomplishing militarily. You know, they have a nationalism. They love their country, and they're not ashamed to admit it. And they work together, and everybody serves in the military, men and women alike. You know, it's something that when you go as an American, you miss that. I miss that because we used to be that way, too. Many of us still do love our country, and many of you have served, but more people now in heaven. No, they don't. They don't. Our kids don't have that cohesive understanding of who America is and what we stand for, and don't really have a sense of why they would fight on behalf of their own country. But not true in Israel, and so it's kind of an exciting place to be. One of the things that they developed, I remember, right on the right overlooking Syria, up on the ridge. I can't recall the name of the ridge. There is a beautiful winery that they've just started from nothing, bringing in vines. And it's just amazing the things that they have accomplished. So this little tiny country now has their capital in Jerusalem, the centuries-old city, which has always been their capital, the city of their love, and the city that should have been holding the embassy, American embassy, for the last 20 years, but didn't, because no president had the courage to go forward with this. So we'll see what happens, and it's very sad. Of course, it's sad that the Palestinians, many of them, are losing their lives on the border. The Israelis sent flyers out, said, don't do this. We are doubling down on the border. If you come to the border to riot, it'll be very dangerous. It said, basically, you deserve a better government than what you have. But they're not listening, because it's just, it's an irrational motivation of hatred. So they're rushing to the border. They're claiming, Hamas is calling for more violence. So I'm sure there will be more violence. But that's what's happening. That's what happened yesterday in Israel. And it's just a remarkable day that we wanted to mark. Today is a primary. And it's a primary for the following states: Idaho, Oregon, Nebraska, and Pennsylvania. Now, in terms of Oregon and Nebraska, I've asked about specific races. I don't think there's anything. Look, don't misunderstand me. I think each and every one of you need to vote. If you're listening to me in Oregon, if you're listening to me in Nebraska, please take responsibility to find out who's running, who the, look at their websites, see where they stand on the moral issues and on the other issues that concern you, and then go out and vote for them today. So don't sleep in and don't vote, because it's important, very important. Idaho and Pennsylvania both have elections. We're going to zero in on Pennsylvania in just a few minutes, but I want to talk to you about Idaho first. Raul Labrador is running for governor in Idaho, and I want to read to you what Rick Manning of Citizens for Limited Government had to say. He talks about Raul from a personal perspective. When many in the Republican Party turned tail and ran away from Donald Trump before the election, Labrador stood with him. But when the president was wrong, like in the first ill-fated health care change, which in fact left Obamacare virtually intact, Raul Labrador said no. When the budget-destroying omnibus spending bill, which will be responsible for our return to a $1 trillion-a-year deficit, was debated, Labrador fought for common sense and basic fiscal responsibility. And when Democrats insisted that only a budget buster would pass, Labrador said, not with my vote, and he opposed it. And when he came down from his consistent fight for limited government, Labrador drew praise from former House Committee Chairman Jason Chaffetz, who referenced Labrador saying, we have wonderful people that have a spine and are going to fight. And that's what anyone who's gotten to know Raul Labrador in D.C. has come to learn. He is a conservative man with a spine, an almost extinct species in Washington, D.C. A conservative politician with a backbone is not a quality valued by those in the swamp who prefer robots over patriots, but his principles are exactly why voters sent Labrador to D.C., and his strength in standing up for the people of Idaho is why we should be elected governor. So that's what Citizens for Limited Government Rick Manning has to say about Raul Labrador, who's running today in that for governor in the state of Idaho. Let me just mention, Pennsylvania Pastors Network issued a really, and I think, challenging and good, just reminder, 10 reasons why Christians should vote biblically on May 15th, because that's their, of course, their primary, which we're going to discuss in just a second. There are 10 reasons why Christians should vote. Number one, to support candidates and issues that are biblically based. When Christians vote, they have the opportunity to support biblical truths by voting in favor of the issues and the candidates that are in agreement with Scripture. Number two, to practice civil obedience. Because the law of the land provides the right for the citizens to vote, and because Romans 13 teaches that Christian citizens should be subject to the higher power, voting becomes a matter of civil obedience. Number three, to uphold biblical values. Philippians 2 tells Christians to shine as lights in the world and hold forth the word of life. To number four, I'm reading these, they're not complete. I'm giving you the cliff notes. Number four, to stand against evil in the nation. St. Augustine said, those who are citizens of God's kingdom are best equipped to be citizens of the kingdom of man. Number five, to promote that which is morally good in the country. When Christians vote, they take the opportunity to promote that which is morally upright by supporting candidates and issues that are biblically correct. Number six, to function as Christ's ambassadors. When Christians vote, they fulfill the honor and responsibility of being Christ's ambassadors, as taught in 2 Corinthians. Number seven, to be involved in government. Titus 3 encourages pastors to teach their congregations to be ready to every good work, which is in the context of functioning in government. Number eight, to put our prayers in action. The Bible teaches Christians to pray for those in authority so that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Number nine, to maintain our freedoms. There are candidates who, given the chance, would remove the freedoms Americans hold dear, and so we must vote them down to function as salt and light, and we all know the scriptures about that. They're recommending iVoter Guide. AFA Action has a voter guide. iVoter Guide, AFA Action, has a great .net, has a great voter guide for some of these races. And so I'm just encouraging you, if you are in Idaho, Oregon, Nebraska, or Pennsylvania, or if you know people there, share this information with them. When we come back, we're going to turn our attention to Pennsylvania, because it's got some really interesting primaries today. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Uh-huh. A charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation is an excellent way to provide yourself with guaranteed permanent income while at the same time supporting the American Family Association. Here's what one supporter told us.
I very much want to see God's word continue into the next generation. This is a way I can help AFA spread the truth and promote their biblical stand. My experience with the AFA Foundation continues to remind me that I have a small part in helping AFA in the battle for our nation's values.
Financial planning is essential to your family. A charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation is one way you can support AFA and the health of our nation. The planners at the AFA Foundation are here to help you do the most with your finances. You can call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345, find us on Facebook, or email foundation@afa.net, and learn whether a charitable gift annuity is right for you.
The American Family Association invites you to a very special gathering of AFA friends from across America this fall at the Big Cedar Lodge in the Ozarks. The AFA retreat will be a relaxing time of fellowship and inspiration. Speakers include Sandy Rios, Dr. Ray Pritchard, Todd Starnes, Abraham Hamilton III, and Ed Battagliano, and Dennis Jernigan will lead us in worship. Experience all of this in a beautiful setting that dates back to the 1920s, built originally to be a wilderness retreat for a prominent Missouri family. We hope you'll join us October 8th through the 11th at the rustic Big Cedar Lodge just south of Branson on Table Rock Lake. It promises to be a refreshing time of worship, teaching, fellowship, and fun. To register or for more information, visit afafoundation.net. Seating is limited, so register today. Hope to see you there.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. Maybe a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The editors of GQ magazine have named the Holy Bible as one of the most overrated books in history. The Good Book ranked number 12 on their list of 21 books you don't have to read before you die. The editors called God's Word repetitive, self-contradictory, foolish, and ill-intentioned. They say it's rated highly by those who live by the Bible but have not actually read the Bible. And I suspect the editors count themselves among those who have not read the book. Otherwise, they would have known the Bible documents the greatest story ever told, a story about love and sacrifice and redemption. The best-selling book of all time, more than 5 billion copies sold. That's according to Guinness World Records. And far be it for me to tell the pompous literary erudites at GQ magazine what books to peruse, but based on my reading of the Gospels, they might want to read the Bible before they kick the bucket. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Well, I hope you'll come out tomorrow and vote, and I humbly ask that you consider voting for me.
Democrat Madeleine Dean is running for Congress in Pennsylvania. She is one of 84 people vying for 18 seats in a statewide jumble that has shuffled the Keystone State's congressional districts like a tossed salad. In February, the state Supreme Court ordered district lines redrawn, declaring the Republican-designed districts partisan and a violation of the state's constitution.
People are just thankful that the Supreme Court did the right thing and drew maps that made sense.
There's going to be a good bit of chaos.
Terry Madonna, a veteran pollster, says he's never seen anything like it, and the result he predicts will boost one party.
No doubt about it. It's going to help the Democrats because they're in a position to win three suburban districts in the suburbs of Philadelphia at a minimum, and perhaps one up in the Lehigh Valley and maybe one out in the western part of Pennsylvania.
This district, the old 7th, was so severely chopped up, it was nicknamed Goofy Kicking Donald Duck, what it resembled on the map. It's now split into two districts. And the state's newest congressman, Democrat Connor Lamb, elected in March, is running in a new district. The Republican he defeated, Rick Saccone, running in yet another. Republicans are not pleased.
clearly the map was drawn by some partisan judges who were following the Barack Obama, Eric Holder playbook of what they call fair districting. It was clearly an effort to take back Republican seats for the Democrat Party.
It turns out that six Republican districts now have more Democrats than before. So while Republicans are complaining, Democrats like Madeleine Dean are delighted. Brett.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. That was Eric Schahn last night on Fox. And you get the idea that these elections are actually very complex. And I'm beginning to appreciate that more. I know that seems like an odd comment after that report, but I'm grateful that every state is kind of managing their own business. And that means that those, you and I, who live in these various states, have to take responsibility. You know, my home state of Illinois is just going to pieces because people did not pay attention and elected terrible people to public office. And now they are just about to break the back of Illinois homeowners and Illinois taxpayers who are trapped in a state, as are Californians and as are people in New York, in ways that they had never imagined. It matters who you vote for, and that's why I'm asking you to remember, if you are in the states of Idaho, Oregon, Nebraska, or Pennsylvania, that you vote today in their primary so that you can actually make a difference, whether it's the local races or the congressional races, the Senate, the House. And so we're going to talk about this just a little bit. And I've asked Terry Schilling to join us. Terry is the executive director of the American Principles Project. If that's not a familiar name to you, it was founded in 2009 by Princeton professor Robbie George, who happens to be a friend of mine, the best of the best. If you're in D.C. and you're in conservative circles, you know who Robbie George is. He's just a champion. And so American Principles Project is a reflection of his character. And so, Terry, thanks for joining me this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sandy. I'm really excited to be on.
All right, so let's talk about Pennsylvania, Terry. Let's go right to the top race, I guess, there today would be your governor's race, right?
That's exactly right. I think that this is going to be the most important election in recent time when it comes to the issue of privacy and religious freedom. Right now, you have a candidate in Scott Wagner who's been endorsed by the state party, who supports what's known as sexual orientation and gender identity non-discrimination laws. And what these laws do is they basically ban schools and churches and charities from making decisions in the best interest of children and protecting their privacy in bathrooms. This is the so-called bathroom legislation that we've seen popping up across the state. It opens up locker rooms and showers and bathrooms. It's really harmful legislation, and Scott Wagner, a lot of people don't know this, he's a Republican, and he's a champion of these types of laws, and so we need to make sure that he doesn't get the nomination and win this election, because it will fall down the line in Pennsylvania, and as Pennsylvania goes, so does the rest of the nation, I think.
Let me just say that your current governor is Governor Tom Wolf. He's a Democrat. And this, what you're discussing, is the Republican primary today. And there are two. Are there just two candidates, Paul Mango and Scott Wagner, for the Republican nomination?
So there's actually three. There's Paul Mango, who's good on this issue. And there's Scott Wagner, who's the champion of the SOGI laws. And then there's also Laura Ellsworth, who also supports SOGI along with Scott Wagner. So we really only have one champion in this race to protect our privacy and our religious freedom.
Now, my understanding is that Scott Wagner is ahead in the polls. He's a state senator. He has the backing, as you said, of the party, and has, you know, he claims that he's a conservative. He's talked about Pennsylvania Family Institute supporting him. There's some controversy about that too, right?
Exactly. And in fact, the Pennsylvania Family Institute does not. They're a 501c3, number one, so they can't endorse candidates. But number two, they have been the biggest opponents of Scott Wagner's, what they call the Fairness Act. I call it the Unfairness Act, the sexual orientation and gender identity legislation. And what's really frustrating about this is that this is not the first time Scott Wagner has tried to mislead voters on his record on family and religious freedom issues. Scott Wagner has denied that this legislation opens up locker rooms and showers in schools. He's just flat out denied it, even though the bill clearly states that it opens up locker rooms and restrooms on gender identity and bans discrimination in public accommodations and facilities. It just falls flat on its face, and it's just another example of Scott Wagner misleading the voters.
Let me just mention this. A couple of things. Family Research Center PAC has endorsed his opponent, Paul Mango. Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin has issued a statement saying Pennsylvanians are looking for leaders who will keep their word in establishing a culture in which all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Mango's support for smaller government, a free market economy, and into Obamacare, and support for the sanctity of human life. So they're supporting Paul Mango. Now, what do you know about Paul Mango's record, Terry?
He's got a great record. So I will just tell you, at American Principles Project, we our whole thing, our mission, is to put human dignity into politics. That's where we fight. We fight in politics. We're 501c4. And so because of that, we have to meet with candidates across the country. And they range from moderate to super conservative. And I will tell you that Paul Mango, when we sat down with him, it was the most impressive meeting I've ever had with a candidate. Usually when you ask, I ask them the tough questions right up front. And I just say, look, the LGBT rights movement, they're the most powerful movement in the country. And they're going to come at you and they're going to say, hey, Paul Mango, why don't you support these sexual orientation and gender identity laws? What are you going to say to them? And he said, without hesitation, he says, well, I have 5 daughters, and the last thing I want is another man in the shower with them. And so I'm going to protect my daughters, I'm going to protect your daughters in schools, and I'm not going to support these crazy bathroom bills. It was so refreshing to see that. And it's really something unique. And quite frankly, Paul Mango has done something even bigger than I've seen any other candidate do. And he's actually run television commercials all exposing Scott Wagner's record on this bathroom legislation. Paul Mango, I can tell you, Robbie George reviewed Paul Mango's family and religious freedom platform and loved it. And he actually had a quote endorsing it, essentially, that part of the platform. Paul Mango is exactly the type of candidate that Christians and people that value religious freedom should be able to depend on and should vote for this election
now,
today.
I do know that there's confusion about Scott Wagner. Some people would push back with what you're saying. You know that. And Scott Wagner himself is defending his support of this bill it's accommodations. It's broader than bathrooms, which I think is worse actually, because it's dressing rooms and that sort of thing. But here's kind of, to me, kind of a nail in the coffin, and that is a fact that I read in an article by Dr. Susan Berry in Breitbart, that Scott Wagner has received money from Tom Gill, who is the very wealthy LGBT philanthropist who has pledged millions of dollars to defeat conservative congressmen. He's targeted several different, I think 24 different races. Argues against the defense of Wagner on this issue, don't you think?
Absolutely, and to be quite forward, I think that to cast Tim Gill as a guy that just spends a lot of money to defeat Republicans is a little too nice for what he actually wants to do. This is Tim Gill. He is the largest billionaire funder of the LGBT rights movement, and he was quoted just this past year in Rolling Stone magazine as saying that his goal with every dollar he gives out is to punish the wicked. And what he means by wicked are people like you and me, people that believe that there are two genders and that we should protect children from sexual activity and that we should, keep the innocence of children and keep this stuff out of our schools and out of our families. He wants to punish us. And Scott Wagner not only accepted $5,000 directly from Tim Gill, which is the maximum amount you can accept, he also accepted $10,000 from one of Tim Gill's funded PACs. This is a guy, and quite frankly, Scott Wagner also voted down. There was a religious freedom amendment that would have exempted schools and churches and religious organizations from having to open up their locker rooms and showers, and Scott Wagner was the deciding vote against that religious freedom amendment in his committee. The deciding vote. I think it really speaks to how bad of a candidate Scott Wagner is, that he's willing, as a self-proclaimed conservative, to punish religious schools and institutions for not opening up their locker rooms and showers and bathrooms.
All right, so that's a huge race that Christians certainly should be watching, and it's happening in Pennsylvania today. Today is the primary in Pennsylvania. But there's another race I just want to ask you about, Eric. Terry, I know that this is not necessarily something you've been following, but stay with me for a second. Bob Casey is your sitting senator. Bob Casey was famously initially, we thought, going to be pro-life, but now he isn't. His probably the challenger who will, in the GOP primary today, depending on how people vote, is most likely going to be Congressman Lou Barletta. What do you know about that race? And we only have about 4 minutes left. Any comments on that particular race?
Yeah, I'll just say that I think Lou Barletta has a really solid record on life and religious freedom. He's a great guy. My dad served with him from 2011 to 2013 and has nothing but great things to say about him. But look, this is a race against Bob Casey Jr., who, quite frankly, is such a disappointment when you look at who his father was. His father was Bob Casey, the governor of Pennsylvania, who fought Planned Parenthood. He was the Casey in Casey versus Planned Parenthood. And Bob Casey's son is now supporting the funding of an organization that not only performs over 300,000 abortions every year, they take 300,000 babies' lives every year. They sell baby body parts. And Bob Casey Jr. is supporting the funding of that organization. I can't think of anything more disgraceful or disappointing than that after what his father stood for and fought for. And quite frankly, you know, Bob Casey's a Catholic, which is just, you know, icing on the cake for how disappointing this is. It's terrible. And I think Lou Barletta has a great shot to beat him. I think if he runs on a strong social platform and a fusionist platform where it talks about workers and runs on the Trump economics and runs on the, you know, now the Trump social agenda, I think he'll have a lot of success in the polls and beat Bob Casey next November.
Well, it'd be interesting. And, of course, Lou Barletta has to be the nominee if that's going to happen in the primary today. So those of you in Pennsylvania, a heads up. And if you have friends in Pennsylvania, email them and say, don't forget to vote. You must. This is non-negotiable. As an American citizen, you must vote today. It's amazing to me, Terry, how little is being said about these elections on television. And people, you know, the cable news is nationalized. So you watch it 24/7. A lot of conservatives do. But there's very little said about these local races. And people don't then understand how important they just must get out and vote today in these states: Idaho, Oregon, Pennsylvania, and Nebraska. Terry, one last thing. American Principles Project, what else do you want people to know about you in 1 minute? Where can you send them for information?
They can go to our website, appsdc.org, and it's real simple. We fight for human dignity through public policy, and we focus on two big things: strong families and strong citizens. We fight for federalism and the family and religious freedom. And we have a lot of great work that we're doing. We just produced a book called Deconstructing the Administrative State, highlighting all of the federal overreaches, the new tactics that the federal government is doing. Check it out. It's on our website. It's amazing. It's written by Emmett McGroarty, Jane Robbins, and Aaron Tuttle. They're our senior fellows. They're amazing people, and we're fighting every day. And we're just so thankful for people like you, Sandy, that are getting the message out there and talking to the people, because, as you said, you know, not a lot of the media is doing this, and usually when they do it, they're doing it in a very biased fashion. So we're just so thankful for everything you're doing.
No, my pleasure. We're all in this together. By the way, it's APPFDC, APPFDC.org for their website. And Terry, it's really nice to meet you by phone. Of course, you know that Emmett and Jane, I know them very well, and you're right. They are the creme de la creme. You guys have great staff. So, thanks for weighing in today on Pennsylvania. We hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Sandy.
All right, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk. By the way, Frank Gaffney's going to join me next. We're going to be talking about the Mueller dust-up, what's happening in the Middle East, and many, many more things. So stay tuned.
a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Recently, tech titans have sought to minimize the access people have to conservative content. But what we've seen so far is just the beginning. At an off-the-record event where the usual regressive media suspects were gathered, Mark Zuckerberg announced Facebook will dial up the intensity of its efforts to minimize access to, quote, controversial political content, end quote. Any wonder as to what type of content Zuckerberg deems to be controversial?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Imagine you're on Southwest Airlines and the unthinkable happens. An engine explodes, a passenger's nearly sucked out the window, and people are screaming and sending what they thought was their last text to their family. Everyone was afraid, but one passenger said she held her husband's hand and prayed. She believed the Bible verse that says, God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. You never know when a crisis will happen. That's why we need to stay close to God each day. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Under God, an American Family Radio special celebrating our great nation and featuring the music of the Joyful Noise Quartet.
I'm just reminded today how this country was founded because there were Christians looking for a land where they could live out their Christian faith. We've been entrusted now to be guardians of this freedom.
Listen to Under God this Thursday afternoon, 2:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. An Iranian government official has reportedly threatened to disclose which Western officials were bribed to achieve the fraudulent Obama bomb deal from which President Trump has wisely withdrawn the United States. Please, do it. Given the magnitude of the capitulation the West engaged in to get what former Secretary of State John Kerry once admitted was just a political understanding, it certainly is plausible that corruption was at work. That theory is only enhanced by the fact that $1.7 billion of the $150 billion that was given to Iran as part of this accord was surreptitiously paid in pallets of cash. It would be terrific if the mullahs would confirm whose palms they greased to secure a deal that not only gave them this windfall, but that actually gave Iran a legal path to the bomb. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. You know, every morning you hear the voice of Frank Gaffney, who does a commentary for us, which comes in every single day without fail, always timely, always filled with wisdom, understanding. You must know because you listen to me. You've been listening to me for several years now. Frank is a good friend of mine, and he's a national treasure. He's a treasure to our show. He's a treasure to this country. But you might not even understand all the many things that Frank is involved in. I'm not sure I know, to be honest with you. Let me just say that he's the founder and president of the Center for Security Policy, He also has founded a new initiative called Save the Persecuted Christians, which we're going to talk about. And he also, in his spare time, has begun a two-hour show on this network. It's called Secure Freedom Radio. It starts at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and goes to midnight. And that is not a small thing, by the way. So coming to us from an unknown, undisclosed location this morning is Frank Gaffney. Frank, thanks for joining us.
Sandy, thank you. That's such a sweet introduction. I want to commemorate this in perpetuity. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, I'm excited. I really am. You know, let's talk about your... Okay, I know. I'm skipping ahead because I can't help it. Your radio broadcast, what... tell people kind of, I'm guessing that it's going to be an hour of the kinds of things that you hear in that minute each morning on this show, right?
That's right, except it's from a lot smarter people than me, by and large. We have usually four different guests in the course of an hour. Sometimes we devote the whole hour to one, and that's really extremely rich content, typically on a complex set of subjects that we have incredible expertise addressing. But I call them intelligence briefings on what I think of as the war for the free world, Sandy. And you and I have spent a lot of time in the trenches. Excuse me. And we are familiar with what was kind of imprinted in my professional life by my old boss, Ronald Reagan, which was his statement. He repeated it a number of times. I think he first made it back in 1961, long before he entered public service. He said, every generation faces an existential threat to freedom. We don't pass it on to our children through the bloodstream. It has to be fought for, and protected, and you know, passed along to them to do the same. And he closed that quote, one time at least, with this further admonition. He said that if we don't do that, we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was like to live in the United States when men were free. And that's always stuck with me, Sandy, and it really just impresses upon me that all of the struggles that we talk about in those minutes and on our radio show and you on your radio show and so many others are really just the manifestations of our times wrestling with existential threats to our freedom. So our program, Secure Freedom Radio, which I am so thrilled is now on the American Family Radio Network, is really meant to try to equip our countrymen and women with an understanding of those existential threats and to help, we hope, empower them to take steps both in their own lives and collectively to try to protect our children and our children's children from them in the way that we have been called to do by Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, let me just interject something practical. I know lots of you are listening and you're saying, well, that's late for me. That's 10 o'clock Central or 9 o'clock, or whatever, Pacific. But 11 o'clock Eastern, that seems late. So here's the thing. You can go to American Family Radio and listen to Frank's shows by podcast. You can do that every day. And I can't say enough for the content. You know, I've been the beneficiary sitting at Frank's feet now for a very long time, listening and learning from his contacts and associates. It has been such an enriching experience, and you listeners get the benefit of that because of my friendships with people in Frank's world. And so you can have that firsthand yourself each day when he brings you this Secure Freedom Radio. Honestly, don't miss the chance for this hour of rich, rich information. So go to American Family Radio and download the podcast if you can't listen live each night. Okay, Frank, now let's talk about several things, and maybe we won't have time to talk a lot about any of them. But yesterday was such a big day in Israel, such a big day. I talked about it at the top of the show, but I'd love to know your thoughts about what took place yesterday.
Well, it was a victory in the war for the free world, Sandy, and that's because, as our mutual friend Diana West told me on Secure Freedom Radio yesterday, as a matter of fact, it was one of the few instances in recent memory where an American leader, in this case, of course, President Donald Trump, said he was not going to submit to the demands of what another of our friends, Andy McCarthy, I think has accurately described as Sharia supremacism. And Sharia supremacism has been manifested for decades by the Palestinians and other Arab states who've insisted that the United States not put its embassy in the capital of the Jewish state, Israel, on the grounds that that would offend them, that would not serve their interests. They would find it unacceptable. They threatened violence. They threatened all kinds of repercussions, economic and otherwise. And Donald Trump said, no, we're not going to continue to submit to that kind of pressure or blackmail or coercion or threats. We're going to do what we do every place else in the world, which is to have our embassy in the capital city of the country to which we have diplomatic representation. And, you know, I think the importance of this signal goes way beyond just the physical presence of an embassy in Jerusalem, Sandy, because I think it really has signaled to all of those Sharia supremacists around the world that we have a president, we have a nation now that is going to stand up to what is wrong, their coercive pressures, their threats, and the like. And that has, in my experience, whether it's with the schoolyard bully or with it's with totalitarians of other stripes, or for that matter, this one, Sharia, this is something that conduces to better behavior on the part of the bullies, and submission only gets you worse behavior. It gets appeasement gets you more aggression, not less. So I think this is a big day, both in a symbolic way and in a very strategic way as well.
You know, Frank, it really is stunning. I mean, stunning. When you and I, let's say we spoke, let's say we were just doing an interview a year ago. The dangers in this world, you know, the dangers in terms of the homeland, I'm not saying that they aren't there still, but tremendously reduced because they are often fueled by, emboldened by no restraints internationally. So now the Islamists with among us now are seeing what's happening. And I can't help but think that that's putting kind of a big damper on the plans they might have here. Plus, we are Al-Qaeda has been reduced so significantly. The international threats have been reduced so much. It's just stunning, is it not?
Well, as they say, Sandy, from your lips to God's ears, I hope that's right. I certainly think the signals that have been sent, including the one we've just discussed, have been very important. I worry that many of the same forces that we would have talked about a year ago are still present and still have the same ambitions. They may be laying low for the moment. They may think that this is less of an opportune time to be engaging in aggression, violence, threats, subversion, whatever. But I fear that it's still probably their plan, and to varying degrees, it's still what they're doing. But look, the main point, and I think you've hit it absolutely right, is we want to signal to them that we are not going to be their willing prey. And that's an incredibly different kind of dynamic than what we saw previously.
Yep. All right, changing the subject, another huge story that took place in probably 48 hours before this one, something like that. These three North Korean hostages are brought home. The president meets them at St. Andrews Air Force Base. And, Frank, I had predicted, because, you know, I've been to North Korea, and I knew that American Koreans are the ones that are spending thousands and thousands, if not millions of dollars, sacrificing their own money to help people in North Korea. And I had suspected that these three were part of that movement. And sure enough, They are Christians who have been embedded in business in various universities and various places in North Korea. And as you and I both know, North Korea is probably the number one persecutor of Christians on the globe. You've started this new effort called Save the Persecuted Christians. Talk about that. Whatever comes to your mind that you want to explain.
Well, thank you, Sandy. I'm among quite a group of people who have pulled in behind this idea that it's not enough for us to simply be praying for or even sending money to help alleviate the suffering of Christians. This is a moment when there's an opportunity, especially with Donald Trump and Mike Pence and their team in senior ranks of this administration. I'm thinking of John Bolton and Mike Pompeo, for example. Sam Brownback, now is the ambassador at large for international religious freedom. It's an opportunity for us to do something much more consequential for the, according to Open Doors, 215 million Christians around the world who aren't just, you know, having bad days because of their faith. They're suffering heavy persecution, and you know that that means things like torture and rape and enslavement and forced banishment from their homes and murder, even on a genocidal scale in some places. And speaking of North Korea, Open Doors also says, and you're absolutely right about this, it's the number one worst place in the world to be a Christian, and that's because, in the final analysis, Christians have the temerity to believe there's a God other than Kim Jong-un. So it goes particularly badly for them. It's not so great for any other North Korean, for that matter, but it's particularly horrific for Christians. So the release of these three folks in advance of the summit with President Trump, I think, is a welcome sign. I'd feel better, and again, we talked yesterday with another friend of ours, Suzanne Schulte, who's been doing incredibly good work in North Korea Freedom Week and broadcasting into North Korea and working with defectors in other ways, trying to help the folks there raise the awareness here about what their suffering is and also raise the opportunities to try to expose them in North Korea to the truth about what's happening in the wider world. So she was talking about how there's a concern that if the president doesn't emphasize the need for more widespread relief by the North Korean regime of Christians, or for that matter, others, we may get a situation, Sandy, as Antoine is saying, where a regime that treats its own people horrifically badly is somehow thought to be likely to be less of a threat to ours. I don't think so. So I hope the president will succeed in denuclearizing North Korea. That would be a very good thing. But I hope that he'll also help with changing the character of this regime and reducing the threat that it poses to its own folks as well as ours.
Yes, I've been concerned about that too, Frank. So that'll have to be discussed on when I have more time. But let me just say that SaveThePersecutedChristians.org is an incredible resource of information about what's going on around the globe. So SaveThePersecutedChristians.org. And also, Center for Security Policy is the gold standard from my perspective in terms of honestly, truly effective national security. So Center for Security Policy. And then, of course, listen to Frank's new radio program, which is Secure Freedom Radio. It's live at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time each weekday night, and you can get it by podcast, which I just encourage you to do. Frank, listen, it's great to talk to you. Thank you for all that you do to inform the American people. You're a true patriot and such a great friend to this ministry. Thanks, Frank. Talk to you soon.
Bless you. Thanks.
All right. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.